sounds.
It's really easy.
I know.
Because my father takes a shear every weekend. It's like, for him it's difficult, but my husband doesn't in a second. Actually, I think he finally figured it out. After being shown.
Who?
People do. Yeah, he posts it on his website, and people go and download it. It's on iTunes. You could post this to iTunes for a free download. Like, it's really, really cool.
Listen to his bonus and then forget it.
If you say you like have your flyer at home and you're like, oh my gosh, I missed Atari Shear, you could go online and download it.
Make it like video.
That would be cool too. Yeah. Should we videotape you?
No, but look at it once, twice, and forget it.
In your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You give them out the social?
Yeah.
So I offer them over.
I have something that I didn't give out anybody those groceries because I'm not going to get through inside, but I wanted it to take home because I didn't make as many copies of it. So.
Should I just leave it there?
I like to put the source sheets over there.
So they're so lucky. I don't want people thinking that. You know what? I'll give a set at the end.
Okay. For sure.
Yeah, it's what we do.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today.
This should be a good attire. I don't know where to go.
Franny, in a yoni hat.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's my great pleasure to welcome you back to Midrash Yerbi Shon. We were on a hiatus last month because of the inclement weather. But we're back, and hopefully without further interruption. As you know, today's program could not take place without our generous sponsors. We'd like to thank them for a moment. Ruthie and Abba Krieger, Leslie and Gary Litsky, Aliza and Leonard Silverman, Kinnard and David Shackow, Gail and Gary Cantor, Shira and Mendel Kupfer, Judy and Joel Pomerantz, Yona Schwartz, Franny Pollack and Joel Hecker, Razel Shapiro, Ayala Balanoff and Evan Aidman, Hannah Lee and Eyal Barzell, Linda Sagman, Eileen Singer, Diane and Ari Weintraub, Brenda and Paul Frank, Mira and Aaron Singer, Nancy Isserman and Joel Harwitz. And thank you so much for all of your support. And today's shiur is sponsored by Gail Cantor in memory of her beloved mother, Chayna Pesa B'David Eliyahu. We would also very much like to thank Nick from New York Bagels. We're very happy he's kosher again, and he sponsored today's brunch without cost. So we are very thankful to him, and please, visit his store, especially as a sign of thanks. It is my great pleasure to introduce this month's speaker, a local, Atara Ice, who teaches Judaic Studies at Stern Hebrew High School and is one of their stars there. She serves as Mashgiacha Ruchanit and Israel advisor to the girls. Atara holds a BA from Yeshiva University, Stern College in Judaic Studies, and an associate degree in music, as well as an MS from its Azrieli Graduate School for Jewish Education, and completed its graduate program in Advanced Talmudic Studies for Women. While living in Jerusalem and learning at Nishmat's Karen Ariel Halachic Institute to become a Yotzat Halacha, Atara also served on the Midrasha Lindebaum faculty. In addition to her work at Stern, Atara works as a Yoetzet Halacha at many congregations in Manhattan. Atara and her husband Rafi are the proud parents of Ahuva, Yecheskel, and Ephraim. Thank you, Atara.
Thank you, Elise. And thank you to Tal and Yoni. It's really wonderful to be here. And it's amazing because it's our Pesach that you're all here to learn. It's really beautiful. And hopefully, I hope that you'll have something to take home with you that will help you give new meaning in your Seder this year. So
So if I were to ask you, of the mitzvot at the Seder, what mitzvot are women chayavot, are we obligated to do? What would you say? Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, Haggadah.
Wine.
Matzah. Not at the Seder. What was that? Someone said Hallel. Someone said Maror. Okay.
Leaning.
Okay. So as we're going to see, most of the things that you just mentioned are actually not mentioned in particular in the Gemara, yet somehow in the Rishonim and in the Achronim, it suddenly changes. And what we're going to explore, the first thing that people said is that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, of telling over the story of the Exodus. And what we're going to see is that that's not so simple. It's actually really not simple. Why is it not so simple? Why would we think that women should not be responsible for doing all of the mitzvot of the Seder?
Because it's bound, it's not time.
Right, they're time-bound mitzvot. So why should we be obligated in time-bound mitzvot? Yet what we're going to see is that Chazal try very hard to make sure that women are responsible even for these time-bound mitzvot. And the question that I want to ask and hope that we'll answer today is, why? With other mitzvot, they're not so persistent, and here, they're incredibly persistent. And I did summarize the four main points, just so you have an idea of where the shir is going, so you don't feel lost. After we discuss Chazal's persistence that we are chayavot in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, we're going to discuss the difference between the telling over the story at the Seder, and the general mitzvah that we have of Zichirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, of remembering the Exodus, which is a mitzvah that we have every single day. Then we're going to exit the world of Halacha and enter the world of Midrash a little bit, and Tanakh, to see why I think that Chazal were so insistent that women be obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And then we'll circle back and look at the halachic ways that Chazal try to create this obligation for women in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. So let's start, and we will begin with the Tor. The Tor, who was after the Rambam, the first main codifier of law, and in Orach Chaim, Siman Taf Ayin Bet, and you'll see most sources are translated, so feel free to read them in the English or in the Hebrew. We read, Ve'achad anashim ve'achad nashim chayavim behem. By the way, this is following the Siman, it's a statement following the mitzvah of drinking the four cups. Ubechol mitzvot hanohagot ba'otah halayla, and in all mitzvot that we are accustomed to do that night, kegon matzah umaror, like matzah and maror. Does anyone want to say, based on this line of the Torah, does the Torah obligate women in telling over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim? No. Right, and this is pointed out in one of our last sources that we bring. What?
And all the mitzvot.
Okay, on the one hand he says all mitzvot. On the other hand, as the Chaye Adam points out, and this is actually the second to last source, page 9, you can see it. We're going to get back to the Chaye Adam, but he says it there. He says, well, but the Torah does not say Haggadah. He says all mitzvot, yes, but on the other hand, then he specifies matzah and maror, and he does not say Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And when you read the Beit Yosef, which is the Shulchan Aruch's commentary on the Torah, his notes before he wrote down the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Ve'achad anashim ve'achad nashim chayavim behem, and he's quoting the Gemara, he says, Nashim chayavot be'arba kozo, that we do have straight in the Gemara, She'af hein hayubo tohanes. We're all aware of the reason given, which is that women were also included in the miracle, in which case we are chayavot in the four cups. Umitam zet sarich lomar shehin chayavot bechol mitzvot hanohagot ba'otzo halayla ukmo shekatav rabbeinu. And from this reasoning, we should say that women are obligated in all mitzvot of that night, like our master, which is the Torah, wrote. And the question there is, well, maybe, how is it the Beit Yosef reading the Torah? Right? Is the Beit Yosef expanding the Torah and saying all mitzvot? Or is the Beit Yosef merely copying the Torah, in which case he would also perhaps limit it to matzah and maror and not extend it also to telling over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And this, I think, remains a question. However, when we get to the Shulchan Aruch, what does he say? Gam hanashim chayavot be'arba kosot uvechol mitzvot hanohagot bo'tzo laila, which perhaps seems to imply that we are chayavot also in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. But do note that the only one that's mentioned specifically, other than matzah, in the Gemara is the four cups. There is no statement that says that women have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And again, the Megen Avraham, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, explains that Mipnei Shehanashim Hayu Ikar Ba'oto Hanes, and we're going to get back to what the Megen Avraham is saying. The Megen Avraham is translating the concept of they too were involved in the miracles slightly different. We'll spell that out later. But since we were the essence of the miracle, Shebizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot Nig'alu Ma. And because the merit of the righteous women, that's why we were redeemed. So we have to explore all of these. And just to drive this home, in the Mishnah Brura, he says, Gam hanashim chayavot, za'af shehu mitzvah shehazman grama, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, mikol makom chayavot, even so they are still obligated, sha'af hein hayubo tohanes, for they were involved in the miracle. The question is, what all of these codifiers do not indicate is whether this is a mitzvah on a rabbinic level or even on a biblical level. There's no indication. Does anyone want to take any guesses whether you think, not any guesses, any educated guesses, any thoughts, whether you think that they were intending this to be on a biblical or rabbinic level?
Rabbinic, because it sounds like Hanukkah.
Okay, good. Right. So far, it really does seem rabbinic because it's stemming from Afhein Hayubo Tohanes, which at first glance seems to only give over a rabbinic level. However, we're going to see that they challenge that, they even challenge that. All of this seems to be stemming from the Sefer HaChinuch, source number 6 on page 2. And the Sefer HaChinuch tells us the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and he says that the mitzvah is L'saper b'inyan Yetziat Mitzrayim b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan, kol echad l'fi tzachut l'shono. That the mitzvah is to tell over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, everybody according to the clarity of their own language, ulahalel ulishabeach Hashem yitarach al kol hanisim she'asah lanu Hashem, and to praise Hashem for all the miracles He did for us there, shne'emar v'higadet alevincha b'yom ahu le'mor, we all know the rest of that pasuk, ukvar pershu chachamim, and the sages already explained, demitzvat hagadah zuhi b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan b'sha'at achilat matzah, and this mitzvah is specifically on the 15th of Nisan while you're eating matzah, umash amar hakatuv levincha, and when it says to your sons, delav dafka b'no, you don't only fulfill it through telling your children, your son, ela afilu in kol beria, even with any creature. It's a weird word, beria. The inyan ha-mitzvah, and the matter of the mitzvah, she'izkor and nisim, to remember the miracles, v'inyanim she'ru'u la'avotenu be'yitziat Mitzrayim, and all of the events that occurred to our forefathers in the Exodus, v'eich lakach ha-kel yifarach nikmatenu mahen, and how Hashem took our revenge from them, v'afilu beino levein atzmo, you should even tell it to yourself in ein sham achirim, if there's no one else with you. Chayav lehotzi hadvarim b'fiv. Very interestingly phrase that you have to get the words out of your mouth. Kedei sheyit orer libo badavar. Everyone always asks, why do I have to daven? Why do I have to say the words? Can't I just think it in my head? Right, this is a perfect response. Sometimes just saying it in our head isn't enough. When we say it out loud, it really drives it into ourselves. Ki b'dibur yit orer halev. And look at this line. He says, "V'noheget bizcharim unikevot bechol makom uvechol zman." Every single word in that line is jam-packed with meaning. This is something that both men and women must do. Sefer HaChinuch gives us no indication that this is a rabbinic level mitzvah, right? He doesn't give much indication that it's normally in the Sefer HaChinuch. He's discussing biblical mitzvot and not just rabbinic. And he specifies that this is something that is obligatory upon us in all places, at all times. So the Mincha HaChinuch, the famous commentary upon the Sefer HaChinuch, is not quite sure what to do with this Sefer HaChinuch, and he says, I don't understand. This is a perfect case of a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. Right? Not even is it a daily mitzvah. It happens once a year, not just once a year, one night a year. And the Gemara goes at length to specify, and we say it in the Haggadah to remind ourselves that this is a mitzvah that applies at a very specific time in the year. Why should women be chayavot specifically? And he seems to read the Sefer HaChinuch as saying, on a biblical level. It doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, so then he tries saying, well, he comes up, I suggest you read him inside, maybe it's because of this, maybe it's because of that. He knocks down everything, and he comes up at the end and he says, the highest level of obligation that we could possibly give to this is midirabbanan, is rabbinic. But biblical, as the Sefer HaChinuch seems to imply, I just don't get it. And that's how he leaves us off. And this, we know that specifically for matzah, Chazal has to come up with a way to be mechayev women. And this is in source number 7. We read, De'amar Rabbi Eliezer, Nashim chayavot ba'achilat matzah devar Torah. Women have a biblical mitzvah to eat matzah. So we see it. They're clearly on their mind to figure out, well, what are they rabbinically obligated in? What are they only what are they biblically obligated in? Shene'amar lo tochal alav chametz. It says, don't eat chametz during Pesach. And kol sheyeshnu b'val tochal chametz, everybody who has the prohibition of eating chametz, yeshno b'achilat matzah. Because the continuation of that pasuk tells us that you also have, not only do you have a prohibition of eating chametz, but you have an obligation to eat matzah. And therefore, we have what's called a hekesh, a comparison between the two. And therefore, even though normally women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvot, when it comes to achilat matzah, it's all bound up in one pasuk, and therefore they are obligated. V'hani nishei nami, our women, right, these women, hol v'yeshnan b'val tochal chametz, since they are prohibited from eating chametz, yeshnan b'kum achol matzah. They also have the mitzvah to eat matzah. So I believe that this even furthers our question. We see that clearly it was on Chazal's mind to discuss the role of women in the Seder, and they specifically tell us about matzah, and they have not said anything about Haggadah. Yes?
But aren't we prohibited from eating chametz during the entire week of Pesach, but only obligated to matzah on the first night? And wouldn't that make this argument problematic? Because
what do you mean?
Well, we're not obligated to eat matzah on the other 6
Okay.
Pesach,
yeah.
But we're prohibited from eating chametz.
So why does that...
Could you just say that if women are prohibited from eating chametz the first night, why does that obligate them to eat matzah, since we're not... Everybody's not obligated to eat matzah after that.
Anyone have a Tanakh?
Because the two are, the mitzvot are said together. So but, the Shabbos also.
Right, but she's saying that there's a difference between Seder night and the rest of the week.
You know what?
Right.
I think in that same place it says Shivat Yamim Matzah Tochelu.
Right.
In Shemot Yotet. So the same place that they take this.
Here's the thing. I think that this pasuk is actually specifically brought from Devarim and not from Shemot, which.
Okay.
We'll bring back later. Why? Hold on. Would be nice if I had brought the proof text. Can we circle back to this so we don't waste time? Okay. Okay. And I just, to highlight it even more, when we look at, to highlight it even more, but also perhaps loosen our question a little bit, when if you look at source number 8, which I apologize that I didn't translate this source, so pay attention. In the Mishnah, it tells us that women are pterot from kol mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. This is in Kiddushin. And the Gemara now is trying to explain and give us examples of mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. Tanu Rabbanan, ezohi mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. What are mitzvot aseh shehazman grama, time-bound mitzvot? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, v'tzitzit, utzvilin. The ezohi mitzvot aseh shelo hazman grama. And what are examples of non-time-bound mitzvot? And therefore, women are obligated. Mezuzah, ma'akeh, right, to put up a mezuzah, to put up a fence on your roof. Avedah, returning a lost object. Shiluach hakan. And now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Uklalahu? Is this a general principle? Is this it? These are all the mitzvot we are responsible for doing, and these are all the mitzvot we're not responsible. There are a lot of more mitzvot that are time-bound. There are a lot more mitzvot that are not time-bound. Hare matzah, simcha, hakel, de mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. But further than that, there are mitzvot aseh shehazman grama, v'nashim chayavot, that women are obligated in. And what are the specific ones it mentions? Matzah, simcha and yom tov, hakel, the gathering of everybody once every 7 years. And women are obligated to do those. So wait a minute, you just told me they're not obligated in time-bound mitzvot, but here are some examples of time-bound mitzvot that they are obligated in. V'tu, further, v'harei Talmud Torah, peri of the Rivya, u'pidyon haben, delav mitzvot aseh shehazman gramahu. We have some examples of non-time-bound mitzvot, like learning Torah, and having kids, and redeeming the firstborn son. Those are not time-bound mitzvot, and women are pturot. So don't tell me that we can decide whether women are chayavot or pturot based on whether it's time-bound or not time-bound. This doesn't seem to really be the criteria. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan tells us, ein lomdin min haklalot. We can't just learn from generalities. Even in a place where it says, except. What does that mean? It means don't take this list too seriously. There are going to be other things that really do belong on the list. There are going to be things that really don't belong on the list. So don't get too bogged down in this list, implying, I don't know, maybe Haggadah could make it onto the list, even if Chazal weren't discussing it specifically. Okay, I want to take a step back now, though, and look specifically at defining what Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is anyway, that we should or should not be obligated in it. And to do so, I'm going to borrow from Reb Chaim, who really, this blew my mind, the way that he saw this, that we can define the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim best if we compare it to the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. And to do that, let's start first in the Rambam, source number 9. The Rambam tells us, Mitzvah Aseh Shel Torah L'Saper B'Nisim V'Nifla'ot Sh'Na'asu L'Avoteinu B'Mitzrayim. It is a mitzvah from the Torah to tell of the miracles that were done for our forefathers in Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, as it says. And look at the pasuk he quotes. Zechor et hayom hazer asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. Remember this day that you exited Egypt. Ukmo she'ne'emor zechor et yom hashabbat. Very interesting what he's doing here. What's he saying? Ah, well, we have this mitzvah of remembering Egypt in the same way that we have a mitzvah to remember Shabbat. Uminayin shebeleil chamisha asar. And how do we know that it's on the 15th? Talmud lumar lebehigadat lebincha bayom hu lemor ba'avor zeh v'sha'a sheyesh matzah maror munachim lefanecha. Because it's specifically at a time where you have matzah and maror in front of you, which is at the Seder, and the rest of it he's just saying that, you know, even if we're chachamim, we all recognize this because we read it in the Haggadah. Then we still have to, and the more you tell over, the more schar you get. Now, it's very interesting, the Mefarshim points out that the Rambam is quoting an interesting pasuk. He's quoting from Shmot Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel, right, where it says, Zachor et hayom azer asher yitzatem mimitzrayim, remember this day that you left Egypt from the house of bondage, with an outstretched arm, God took you out of this, you should not eat chametz. And if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, what does he say about Zachor et hayom hazeh? Lamad shemazkirin yitziat mitzrayim b'chol yom. What mitzvah do we get out of this pasuk? Not the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, but rather Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. And the Rambam uses this pasuk to teach us Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim and not Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. And what makes this even more difficult is the Rambam actually never has a particular mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. All of the other people who count up the mitzvot, they come up with a separate mitzvah of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim every day. But the Rambam just doesn't even have one. And he takes the pasuk that we normally use to prove Sipur Yetziat Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim and learns Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim from it, which is very fascinating. No one really has a good answer. The one answer given is that for the Rambam, Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim is not a separate mitzvah, but rather it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And the Rambam, unlike other Mefarshim, actually says that it's not just the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, which is a chiyuv mideoraita, but rather all three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema. And the point of the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema is for us to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. So that's just a bit of a side note, but it's an interesting the way that the Rambam very specifically usurps the wrong pasuk, but he doesn't think it's the wrong pasuk. Okay, and now just to get a sense of what the mitzvah to compare the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim in Masechet Brachot on Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet. This is source number 12, and it is all translated below. It says in the Mishnah, and you will all recognize this because we say it in the Seder, and hopefully now you'll understand perhaps why we say it in the Seder. Maskirin Yetziat Mitzrayim Balelot. We mention Yetziat Mitzrayim also at night. I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Hare ani keven 70 shana velo zachiti she'te'amar Yetziat Mitzrayim Balelot ad she'drasha ben Zoma. I was like 70 years old. You can ask my ninth graders what that means. And I did not have the zechut to do the mitzvah of Sipur of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim at night until Ben Zoma learned it out from the pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk in Devarim says, "Leman tizkor yom tzedcha me'aretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayacha," so that you remember Yetziat Mitzrayim all the days of your life. So now they darshan out. Yemei chayecha hayamim, right? It says the days of your life, and from there we learn that you're chayav to remember it during the day. Kol yemei chayecha halelot. And says Ben Zoma that the extra word kol, which you didn't really need, tells you that you have a chiyuv not just during the day, but also at night. But then the chachamim disagree, and they say, yemei chayecha olam hazeh, that the days of your life are in this world, but kol tells us lavi leon mot hamashiach. Now, most of us at the Seder are like, okay, what's the point of this machloket? Like, what's the big deal? However, at the Seder, we should be thinking about the continuation in the Gemara. What happens in the Gemara? Ben Zoma has a conversation with the Chachamim, and he tries to say, I don't understand what you're saying, right? He says, V'chimaz kiri yitzia mitzrayim li'mot ha-mashiach? Is there actually a mitzvah of zechira yitzia mitzrayim in the days of Mashiach? V'lo kvar ne'amar, doesn't it say in Yirmiyahu, hinei amim ba'im nu mashem v'lo yamru od chai Hashem asher ha'alat b'nei Yisrael me'eretz mitzrayim? You're no longer going to say, wow, God, who took b'nei Yisrael out of mitzrayim, ki'im chai Hashem asher ha'alat v'asher hevi et zerit be'Yisrael me'eretz tzfonam, we call aretz od asher yidachtim sham. We're not going to have a mitzvah every single day of Zechira Yetziyat Mitzrayim. We're going to have a mitzvah of remembering our exodus from, dare I say, Lower Merion, Pennsylvania. Amr Lo, they said to him, Lo Shetayakar Yetziyat Mitzrayim Mimkoma. We're not saying that Yetziyat Mitzrayim will be totally uprooted. That's not what that means. Ela Shetayeh Shibud Malchiyot Ikar. But rather that the enslavement of the kingdoms, which is our current shibud, is going to be the essence. The Yetziyat Mitzrayim tafelo, and Yetziyat Mitzrayim is going to be less important. And he gives a mashal, a parable of a person who was walking on the way, and a wolf came and attacked him, and he was saved from it. And he was going and telling everybody, "I had this miraculous salvation from a wolf." And then suddenly a lion attacks him, and he's saved from the lion. He's no longer telling you about being saved from the wolf. And then a snake comes and attacks him, and he doesn't even mention either of those, and all he talks about is being saved from the snake. Afkach Yisrael, so too Israel, Sarot Acharonot Mishkachot Atarishonot. The later troubles that we go through is going to make us forget the earlier ones. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're gone, they're off the radar entirely, but we are not going to have to commemorate them. So that's pretty interesting to see that this Gemara, and really what we're saying in the Haggadah, and it's sort of like a prayer, like, we really don't want to have to be remembering Mitzrayim every day, because we want to be saved from this Galut, and therefore we're going to be mentioning that. But what can we do now? If we look at the Rambam, source number 13, we're going to see something really fascinating. And again, this is a very famous Rambam, and we have the same line in the Haggadah with a little variation. The Rambam says, "B'chol zor v'zor, in every generation, chayav adam leharot et atzmo." Everyone always makes a big deal that our Haggadah says "lirot et atzmo," to see himself, but "leharot" means to show himself, which is why Sfardim in particular have amazing minhagim about like carrying the matzah on their backs and like doing all of these amazing things at their seder. You have to show yourself. Ki'iluhu be'atzmo yatza. Look at this word. Ata. Now. Mishubud Mitzrayim. Shneamar. Ve'otanu hutzi misham. He took us out. Not just our ancestors, but it's really us. Val davar zet ziva kadosh baruch hu batorah. Ve'zacharta ki evra yita. Klumar ki'ilu ata be'atzmecha hayita eved v'yafsata l'cheirut v'niftet. You need to feel as if it was you. So what Reb Chaim says is that if you compare the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim to Zechirat Yetziyat Mitzrayim, we see that they're very different mitzvot. Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim, if you look at the chart, is only on the 15th of Nisan. But Zechirat Yetziyat Mitzrayim does seem to be every single day and night. However, it's every single day and night, but if you skip to the last one that I put on the sheet, it seems that Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim is Noheget Lidorot. Remember the lashon of the Sefer Achinuch. What did the Sefer Achinuch say? The Noheget b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, at all times. Versus Zechira Yetziyat Mitzrayim, we're mentioning in the Haggadah, based on the Gemara, that Zechira Yetziyat Mitzrayim is not going to last forever. We hope to not have a mitzvah of Zechira Yetziyat Mitzrayim in the future. Additionally, on Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim, you have to specify the specific miracles that Hashem did for us in Mitzrayim. But with Zechira Yetziyat Mitzrayim, a simple mention of Yetziyat Mitzrayim suffices. Additionally, Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim has the particular derech of telling it over to others, that you have to tell it to someone else. versus the Zechira Yetziyah Mitzrayim, which you just have to mention it to yourself. And again, as we pointed out, for even for the Rambam, Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim is a separate mitzvah, but he doesn't think that there even is a separate mitzvah of Zechira Yetziyah Mitzrayim. Rather, it stems from Kriyat Shema. And one more point is that Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim requires Hallel, whereas Zechira Yetziyah Mitzrayim doesn't. And in fact, we say that anybody who says Hallel HaMitzri every single day, it's as if they are blasphemous. So that's another share. Okay.
If you're making a Seder by yourself, you still say it.
You do, but the ideal format is She'ela u'tshuva with someone else. And the Gemara actually particularly says that if you don't have a child, ishto sho'alto, that your wife should ask you, which is one of the points of the Minchat Chinuch. Well, on the one hand, it says ishto sho'alto, but that doesn't mean that the woman has a specific mitzvah in herself. It's just to aid the man. So, okay. So now, the question is, again, so now we're seeing that Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim has this specific element of almost being timeless, not being time-bound. Now you know where I'm going. Where, like, you're not standing in 2010 this year at your Seder, but rather you're back at the Exodus. Ki'ilu yatza ata. You're there now. And I believe that this perhaps, and I'm not saying this is like it, but I'm saying for me, the theme here is so clear that perhaps this is why Chazal wanted women to be so chayavot. And let's see why. Now we're going to go into our midrash mode. I want to take a look at how women really represent this message of being timeless, of being ki'ilu yatza atza mimitzrayim. And I have to say that it's amazing because it really seems that the reason that we are normally actually p'turot mimitzvot aseh shazman grama is actually the very reason that we represent the essence of Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim. Now let me not fool you. Normally, what kind of explanations can we give for why women are p'turot mimitzvot aseh shazman grama? Well, if you look in the Middle Ages, they'll give you answers like, well, you're enslaved to your husband, and therefore you can't be enslaved to God and do time-bound mitzvah, because if your husband says do X, you should not be doing Y for God, you have to serve your husband. Those of us in 2010, no matter who we are, might feel a little icky upon hearing that. And then when you get to Rav Hirsch changes it entirely, and most of us have been beautifully brought up on the idea that the reason that we are p'turot from time-bound mitzvot is because we don't need them. We're better than that. We don't need time-bound mitzvot. It's those men who need to be harnessed by the mitzvot aseh shazman grama, but we're better than that. And the truth is, though, I think the Gemara was brilliant. The Gemara never said any reason why women are p'turot. Okay, they learn it out of these, you know, Hakashim. Well, we learned it from Tefillin. We learned Tefillin from Talmud Torah. We're p'turot from Talmud Torah. We're p'turot from Tefillin. We compare Tefillin to this mitzvah. And it's like this puzzle, but there's no meaning. There's no reason. I think they were brilliant because Chazal knew that this was a mitzvah that in the Middle Ages needed to be given Avudraham's reason. And for us, we need Rav Hirsch's reason. And I think that this could possibly raise a question, like, are we just being apologetic? Right? That's what everyone always says. You're just making this up to make yourself feel good. But I brought a little take-home gift. I didn't print them all, but I do have a take-home gift of one of the most amazing Me'iris you'll ever read. And the Me'iri, it's amazing. What he shows us, he really shows us a very profound theology of history. This is something that my father taught me. And he says that in every generation, we all have our own needs, we all have our own issues. The Torah is eternal, as are the mitzvot, as are halachot, but each generation discovers in the eternal Torah the revelations that it needs for the problems that it has in its generation. Certain issues may not have bothered earlier generations, like gender issues and fairness issues, so they didn't have to search in the Torah to solve those answers, to solve those problems. But later generations have different sensitivities and different sensibilities and different problems. And they're not better, they're just different. And so we are sensitized to discover in the eternal Torah the answers to the problems that we have. And for those of you familiar, this is different than the theory that people put out of cumulative revelation, the idea that you can discover the ultimate meaning of Torah, the Torah word, in the inevitable dialectic between the original revelation at Sinai and the progressive unfolding of history and human understanding, according to Mar Ross. It's not progress. It's just that the infinite, eternal Torah really is infinite. It's eternal, so it always relates to the needs of every generation. It's a really profound theology, and it picks up on the Torah principle that Hashem reveals himself in history and through history. And this is really a natural extension of that principle, as Ben Bagbag says, "Hafochba v'hafochba dekulaba." We can find all our answers. And that doesn't mean that our generation's answer, that Rav Hirsch is disagreeing or arguing or turning over Abu Draham. It's that Abu Draham had the answer that was needed for his generation, and Rav Hirsch is the answer that we need for our generation. So the irony is, again, that when we look at who represents this idea of spanning all time zones in Torah, it's women. And the woman who led all this is Miriam. The first possible sighting of Miriam in the Torah is in Perek Aleph of Shmot, when we go back to the story of Shifra and Pua. In the first parak of Shmot, we meet Shifra and Pua. We've never heard of them before. We never hear of them again. And therefore, Chazal are motivated to try to do what we call the biblical the conservation of biblical personalities and say, well, these aren't new people. These are people who we will see again. In particular, we see in the Gemara in Sota tries to link it. Source 16 should have the full pasuk and somehow doesn't. Should say one of them was Shifter and one of them is Pua. But the Gemara in Sota tells us, "Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim leMiyaldot Ivriyot." Source 17, the king of Mitzrayim said to it's a question. What does Miyaldot HaIvriyot mean? Does it mean the midwives of the Egyptians, in which case of the Israelites, in which case perhaps they weren't even Jewish, or is it the Jewish midwives? So that's a grammatical question. So Rav and Shmuel bring two different explanations. Rav and Shmuel, one opinion is that it's Isha Uvita, a woman and her daughter, and one says that this is Kala v'chamuta, a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, and if it's a woman and daughter, then it's Yocheved and Miriam, which is the one we normally think of, and if it's mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, so that would be Yocheved and Elisheva, who is Aaron's wife. And then the Gemara goes on to bring proof for the different opinions that it would be Isha Uvita. And it quotes that Shifra is Yocheved, v'lamani krash shma Shifra, why is her name Shifra? Shemishaparet et havlad, she improves the baby. Davar acher, Shifra sheparu, v'rabu Yisrael b'yameha, that Israel, flourished in her time period. Pua zu Miriam, v'lamani krash shma Pua, shaita po'ah u'motzia et havlad, she would I wrote here mother ease. talking to the baby and calming the baby down the way that we absolutely naturally do. And Zavarachar Pu'a Shaita Po'a Baruch HaKodesh. Another opinion that she was actually speaking in Ruach HaKodesh and saying, Atida imi sheteleid ben Shemoshiat Yisrael. My mother is going to have a child which will save Israel. We'll get back to that theme. But it's interesting, most of us don't think of Elisheva and Yocheved in this case, because Rashi quotes that these are Yocheved and Miriam, and you can see in source number 18. And so we have this idea that Miriam is already showing up to save babies. And Miriam is already showing up to be a nurturer and a soother. When we move on to Perek Bet of Shmot, we have the famous pasuk, Vayelech Ish Mibet Levi Vayikach Et Bat Levi, a man, I don't know what man, went from the house of Levi and took the daughter of Levi. And the famous Rashi, such an amazing Rashi, where he quotes the Midrash, of course, and says, Vayikach et bat Levi. What does it mean, he took a daughter of Levi? Parush haya mimena. He was separated from her, mipnei gzeirat paro, because paro decreed upon the people to kill their babies. So they basically said, what's the point? Why should I bother staying married if my babies are just going to end up in the river? V'chazar ulikacha vayikach. He took her again. Zehu vayelech. And this also is what Vayelech means, Shehalach ba'atzat bito. He went, according to the advice of his daughter, who I believe must have been like 8 years old at the time, Shamra lo gzeratchat Hashem yishal paro. Your decree is worse than paro's. Im paro gazar al hazacharim. Paro decreed upon the men, ve'atzat gam ken al nekevot. But you're decreeing upon the women that they shouldn't be born either. Ve'hachazira ve'asaba lekuchim shneim. So he married her again. We get to Az Yashir, and Miriam shows up again. And what happens here? We see in source 21, Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Tashira Hazot LaHashem VaYomru LeMor Ashira LaHashem Ki Ga'oga'a Sus V'Rochav Orem Avayam. Now you will notice that I bolded Ashira and I bolded I sing, because I'm told, and not a major grammarian, but I am told that Ashira is in a form called cohortative, I think, and that means that it doesn't necessarily mean it's in future I will sing. It could be I sing, but we can't help but notice that when it comes to Shirat Miriam, just skip for a second to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and then we'll go back to Pasuk Chaf. But what does Miriam say to the women? Shiru. Shiru Lashem. Kiga Oga Susroch Maralayam. Let's read through all of that little paragraph of Miriam's song. It says, Vatikach Miriam Hanivia Achot Aharon et Hatov Biyada Vatetzen Achol Anashim Acharea Betupim Uvimecholot. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand. They all went out after her with these timbrels and in circle dances. Note that micholot, a machol is a circle. Pay attention. Then, batan lehem Miriam called out to them, shiru lahashem ki goga susroch v'rabayam. So Rashi picks up on all of the questions that are just popping out at us from these psukim. Why does it need to identify her as Nevi'ah suddenly here? Why does it need to call her Achot Aharon? Isn't she also Achot Moshe? Why, we know her already. Why does it have to mention this again? Why here? And the big question is, I don't know, I'm rushing out of Mitzrayim for my life. I'm not bringing my timbrels. I'm just running for my life. Why do they have timbrels with them in the middle of the desert, running away from a crazy army? So, Rashi, on Batikach Miriam HaNeviyah, tells us, Heichan Nitnaba, where did she have prophecy? Kshehaita Achot Aharon, when she was only Aaron's sister, Kodem Shenolad Moshe, before Moshe was born. Amra, she said, Atida Imi Shetele Ben, the story that we saw in Perek Bet. Oh, my mother is going to have a child, as it says in Masachet Sota, all of the Midrashim that Rashi quotes earlier. And additionally, why is it that of all of the things they brought along with them, didn't have time to bake bread, but they had their timbrels? Muftachot hayuch sidkaniyot shebador shekadosh baruch hu oseh lehem nisim v'hotziu tzupim b'mitzrayim. They were so sure that miracles were going to happen that they took their timbrels out from Mitzrayim. And we also are very familiar with the Midrash about the women who, the demoralized men, would work in the fields and had no interest in being with their wives and had no interest in having babies, just like Moshe's father also didn't. And what happens is the women took their mirrors into the fields and had these games where they would banter with their husbands in order to seduce them, and that's why we're here today. And so we have this beautiful idea that it was the women. It was us. If not for us, we would not be here today. We would not have made it out. But I want to take it even farther. I want to quote for you the most unbelievable Mo'orv HaShemesh that I've ever read in my life. Not that I've read so many Mo'orv HaShemeshes. I'd like to read more. The Mo'orv HaShemesh connects together this whole experience of Miriam at Yam Suf and shows us like just how important and special this was for Miriam, what she was basically seeing at Yetziat Mitzrayim, a fulfillment of everything that she had set into motion. And so the Mo'orv HaShemesh is Rav Kalonymus Kalman Epstein. He lived from 1754 to 1823. And I tell you that for a reason, you'll see why. And he tells us that the world as it is now is a place of hierarchies and linear relationships. For example, we have king and slave, Rebbe and Talmud, male and female. Linear relationships leave room for abuse and power trips, as we see way too often. But in the future, in the time of Mashiach, the world will be a place of mecholot, of circular relationships, where no one will be higher up than anyone else. Doesn't mean we'll be the same, but it means we'll be equal. The Mo'orv HaShemesh boldly states there will be no distinction. Actually, he boldly states there will be no distinction. I don't know, maybe I'll say we're still distinguished, but actually the Kli Yakar says similarly, if you want to check out on the Perk Tetvav Pasuk Aleph of Shemot, Kli Yakar says the same thing. And the Mo'orv HaShemesh quotes the Gemara at the end of Ta'anit, Source 24. Amar Ula Bira'a Amar Rabbi Elazar Atira Kadosh Baruch Hu Lasot Machol. Look at that word. Latzadikim. He's going to make a circle for the righteous. V'hu Yoshev B'neim Gan Eden. He's going to sit amongst them in Gan Eden. V'chol Echad V'Echad Mar Ebet Zva'o. Could you imagine this sight? And everyone's pointing with their finger. Shneamar V'amar Bayom Ahu Hine Elokeinu Zeh Kivinu Lo V'Yoshienu. This is God. We hope for him. We will rejoice and be happy in his salvation. So we have this image of Yimot HaMashiach as a time of circles, not a time of wine. And he and now we understand why Moshe Rabbeinu said Ashira, and he says that means I will sing, but Miriam said Shiru, sing now. Because Miriam and the women at Mitzrayim were in that circle now. They were in Micholot, whereas Moshe and the men, who were certainly on a tremendous level, they were only saying, we'll experiencing it in full then. For Miriam, the full Geula was at Mitzrayim. She was time traveling. She was not in her space. But for the men, they didn't even feel the fullness yet. So it all comes full circle. It's with this vision that Miriam would not cave to an oppressive, mean king. She did not listen to his decree to throw the babies into the river. And she would not be a slave to the realities, to the a proper analysis of reality, which is that there's no point in bringing children into the world only to be smashed at their mother's birthing stones. And we also see that they say ki chayotena, right? That these women are alive in general. It wasn't just Miriam, but she was leading a group of women who were alive. They would not allow their sovereignty and their way of imitating God by bringing forth life to be quashed. And he quotes from the famous Perek Lamed Aleph of Yirmiyahu, which is perhaps my favorite Perek of Navi, where he has this vision of a Brit Chadasha, this new covenant between Bnei Israel and Hashem, which will be so clear that people will no longer need to teach anybody, right? We'll all know God on the same level in this very direct, metaphorically round way, so that we can actually all point to Hashem from our place in the circle. I think this is an amazing, stunning vision of a world where everyone is so learned and everybody knows everything on the same level to have a very educated discourse. I realize that my words can be misunderstood. They might put me out of a job. I'm no longer to be able to teach because everyone's just going to know everything. But honestly, I'll find another job. I'm really fine with that occurring. And we all have to really open our minds to the teachings of Chazal and engage in the discourse and not say, it's for them and I'll just like be on this like lower level in the totem pole. Because it's not what the vision is. The vision is of a circle. We're all so knowledgeable. That's why washing machines were created. Anyway, so we all like really need to ask questions and really respectfully strive to reach Yirmiyahu's vision. And this is Miriam, and this is also Miriam who, wherever she is, there is Emuna, right? There's the concepts of the Be'er Miriam, of the well where the waters that she originally waited for Moshe. Don't forget, right? That's the next source that I brought for you, source 25. In Perek Bet, we see Miriam waiting. She stood firm. We say after Kriyat Shema in the morning, Emet v'yatziv, standing firm. She stood firm to know. She didn't stand trembling. She knew. She knew that everything was going to be okay. And Rabbi David Foreman points out that this verb, yatzav, appears another important time in Shemot Perek Yudalid. Right, where Bnei Israel are like freaking out because they're running away from Mitzrayim, and what does it say? Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, al tirau, do not fear, be like Miriam, hit yatzvu, stand firm like Miriam, uru'u at Yeshuat Hashem. I knew it would come, and now this is the fulfillment, and Miriam taught Moshe to be firm like that. We also see this emuna of the women occur in yesterday's Parsha, with the Chet Ha'egel, where the men were freaking out and did not know where Moshe went. And the Midrash in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in source number 27 points this out, that Aaron sort of made a judgment between him and himself. And he said, if I tell Bnei Yisrael, give me all your silver and gold, they're going to bring it immediately. And that's why I'm going to say to them, Tnu li nizmei nesheichem. We all are very familiar with this Midrash. V'nizmei b'neichem uvnoteichem. And he thought, well, if I tell them, bring me your wives and your sons and daughters, then hayadavar batal mimeno, it's going to disappear because there's no way the women are going to give up their jewelry. not because they're haughty, but because they get it. They're not worried about where Moshe is. And the women wouldn't give their things, and they said, if Atem rotzim lasot shikutz v'toyva, you want to do this repulsive thing, she'ein bo koch la'atzil, and he has no power to save you? But they didn't listen to them, and therefore we know that what is our schar that we receive for not listening? We get Rosh Chodesh. And the Midrash quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. You'll see this is four lines up in the source. The pasuk is Hamasbia batov ed yech titchadesh kanesher neuraychi. So what does this mean? He sustains with good. What's an adi? An adi is a jewel, right? And then it says titchadesh kanesher neuraychi. But an adi also could mean your mouth. So clearly, it's a play on words. Again, Hamaspia Batova Yech Titchadesh Kanesha Nuraichi, the one who satisfies your mouth with goodness, that your youth renews itself like the wings of an eagle. Now, on a simple level, the connection between Chet HaEgel and Rosh Chodesh is just because of the words Adi, they didn't give their jewelry, and Titchadesh, Rosh Chodesh, this idea of Chidush. Again, even though in context that's not really what Adi means. But it could be deeper in that. You know, if we think about the concept of crime and punishment, we know that Chava's punishment was the pain of childbirth. And we can look back and say, like, why, how does childbirth have anything to do with what her crime was? So if we look at what her crime was that even with the option of eating from every tree in the garden, she wanted the one that God had designated for giving full knowledge. And we know that with knowledge would come power, perhaps as much power as God himself. And Hashem is showing a woman through her monthly cycle and through the pain of childbirth that that's not what life is, that there can be fluctuation, there are ups and downs, there are changes, because we are humans and we don't know everything and we can't predict always when things are going to turn around. And really only Hashem has that full knowledge. And our monthly cycles and our experience of labor is what teaches us that through the moments of doubt and disconnect, we have this hope that the highs will come again. Through the pain of a healthy labor, a woman may say many things. I am definitely chayav in korbanot. But a woman knows that the miracle of life is on its way, and you have this hope that something good is coming. And at Chet HaEgel, the men needed to learn this. They first needed to grasp that Moshe was not a deity, he wasn't a god. But then they needed to work in their emunah through the tough times. They needed to not worry when he didn't come exactly when they thought he was supposed to come. And the women were the ones, the women who understood cycles, were the ones to try to teach them that. And that's why they did not flinch, but the men did, even if the women themselves maybe didn't know when Moshe would return. And the gift of Rosh Chodesh is this gift for internalizing the cyclical nature of the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. And we wax and wane in our understanding of Hashem in the same way that the moon waxes and wanes. And just as an eagle, the end of the Pasuk in Tehillim, rejuvenates its wings and feathers, so too, we can rejuvenate our relationship with God and make it young and fresh again. Okay, running out of time here. If you want to know the connection between that and Parah Aduma, see me. If you want to see the connection between that and the Haftarah from yesterday, you can see me as well. So I think that we now have a full understanding of the depth of what women represent, that we represent this ability of Shiru LaHashem, of being in the presence of the Geula and understanding this bit of like this timeless nature of our relationship with Hashem, which truly is the message of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's truly the goal of the Haggadah. It's not enough just to make a statement, but rather the ideal way is to be involved in this conversation, to bring everyone into the conversation. We identify four different types of learners, so we make sure that we're reaching all different learners, because the goal of the Seder is to get to the point of everybody having this full knowledge, and therefore we have to make sure that we know how to relate to each individual in order to bring them into the circle. And I think that That now explains why Chazal tried so hard to make women, and I don't know if this really was in their minds, but in the spirit of the Meiri, I believe that this really is the meaning behind this connection, that that because women represent the essence of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, of course we have to be chayavot in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. So now, if you turn to page 8 of the sources, let's just see, so how do they do it? How do Chazal make us chayavot in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? So if we go to the source in Megillah, which talks about women's chiyuv in Mikra Megillah, it tells us she'afhein hayubo tohanes, because they were also involved in the miracle. And as I hinted to at the very beginning of the shiur, there's a lot of controversy as to what that means. What does it mean they too were involved in the miracle? So if you look at Tosfot over there, he quotes two opinions. He first quotes the Rashbam. And the Rashbam says, she'ikar hanes haya al yadan. Right, that we were, it wasn't just that we were involved in the miracle, but actually we caused the miracle. B'Purim al yaday Esther, b'Chanukah al yaday Yehudit, b'Pesach shebezchut tzidkaniot shebotoh hador nigalu. So, and we know the main female characters that bring about the geula in each story. But the Tosfot has a question on this. He says, "V'kasha, this is difficult. The lashon she'af hein, the language of even they, mashma shehein tzveilot, implies that they're not as important. It's them also. L'perisho hayala lomar shehein. And according to the Rashbam, the text should have said they were involved in the miracle, not oh they also were involved in the miracle, but they caused the miracle. That's not what it says in the Gemara. And therefore, that pushes Tosfot to bring a different idea. She'af hein hayu besafik lahashmidu laharog, barring from terms from Purim. That they were also in the doubt that they might be destroyed. Because in Pesach we were also enslaved, and Chanukah, the Gzerah was also upon them as well. The Sfat Emet on the Gemara there asks the question of, well, so then why did Rashbam say what he said? If it doesn't make grammatic sense, it's not the pshat of it, why would you say that they caused it if the Lashon of the Gemara says afhein, they were also involved? And he explains that actually it's not so clear that women were enslaved in Mitzrayim. In fact, the Midrash, and this is source number 31, it says specifically in the Torah, they kept the women alive. Right, and then they have Midrashim that talk about us serving, preparing warm water and fish for the men. So maybe we weren't enslaved. There is a source that says that one of the shibudim that was done in Mitzrayim was that they switched the work of men for the work of women, so that women were doing men's work, which is too difficult for our bodies. But that is the Sfat Emet says, well, that's only if they were servants for them. Yeah, it's a little difficult, a little bit of a push, but it is interesting to see why it is that women, that what Rashbam would be thinking to say that we were not just involved, but actually the people who spearheaded the effort. So the question, okay, so we go on in the Tosfot, and in Tosfot, in the middle of the Tosfot, it says, Gabi Matzah Yesh Maksha. We have a question by Matzah. Why it is that we need a Hekesh, this comparison way that Chazal learned things out from the text. The Hekesh of the Kol Sheyeshno Beval Tochal Chametz Yeshno B'chumachol Matzah. Why do we need to have this stretch of comparison? Can't we just say they were involved in the miracle and therefore they have to eat matzah? And Tosfot points out that it's that afhein, the first answer of Tosfot is that afhein does not have the power, as we've been saying the whole time, to bring someone to a biblical chiyuv, but rather it leaves it only on a rabbinic level. However, he also quotes Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, who says that salta datach lemiftarei migzera shava de tetvav de chag hasukot. You might have thought that since Pesach is on the 15th and Sukkot is on the 15th, there should be a gzera shava. This was what's in the Gemara's mind. Between the two, there's a word association, and since women are pterot from Sukkah, we should also be pterot from Matzah. And therefore, that's why we needed this kol sheyeshno beval tochal chametz yeshno b'chumachol matzah. Right, we needed a hakesh. A hakesh is stronger than a gzera shava. If you just think about it, hakesh is normally things are found right in the same section and same paragraph in the Torah, whereas a gzera shava, you're connecting Sukkot to matzah. It's farther apart. What the Mefarshim point out, the Achronim point out about Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim's point here, though, is that for Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim, afhein does have the power to make women chayav on a biblical level. But in this case, it's only because you're fighting you're fighting the gzera shava that ashein would not have been enough. However, without some other principle, hermeneutical advice pushing against it, perhaps ashein could have been enough to give us a chiyuv in matzah. And that's certainly very helpful for our case here, because that makes women chayavot. That could be what's behind the Sefer HaChinuch, right? That the reason that women are chayav, even on a biblical level, in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, is Ahein Hayubo Tohanes, and that it would have enough power to make women chayav on a d'oraita level. There are a lot of other attempts to make women chayav, even on a d'oraita level. There are those who say, like the Chayei Adam here, quotes the idea that women are chayav in it because of matzah, right? And this is in source number 33, I brought you the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that Shmuel tells us lechem oni, right? That matzah is called lechem oni, lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe. This is bread that we say a lot of things about. What is it that we say a lot? That's the Haggadah. So if we're chayav in matzah, we're also chayav in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. We could also certainly be chayav on a derabanan level, which, by the way, the Minchat Chinuch does admit that we're chayav on a derabanan level, because of the mitzvah of wine, right? Because you need to have wine. You can't have all the cups of wine in one shot, and you need something separating them, and you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah if you just sit there and say, Bari Pir Gafen, and drink four cups. You need something separating. What separates? Haggadah. So if you're chayav in the Arba Kosot, then you're chayav in Haggadah as well. So we see that they try really hard. And I believe, once again, that the reason why is because we really are the ones in our families to teach over this message of Shiru LaHashem, of being now in the circle, and that at our Seder we have the opportunity to bring us to the point where we no longer have a mitzvah of Zechira Yitziat Mitzrayim, because the Geula Shlema that will come with our Geula from this current Shibud will be so much stronger that we will no longer remember the previous Geulot. And it should be that at our Seder we should really create the environment that Mashiach could truly walk through our door right now. B'mhir v'yameinu. This is an eerie. If anybody needs it, interested, really cool eerie. I'll leave it here.
Thank you, Tara, so much for your insightful words. Thank you so much for coming. Because of the time, if anybody has any questions, I think Tara would be happy to answer them privately. Please join us next month, April 11th, when C.V. Nogrishol will be our next speaker. Thanks so much for coming. Oh, and one other thing, two other things. First of all, I forgot to mention, thank you to Etsy Berkowitz also, who is a very generous sponsor of this program. I was reading names off of an old sponsor sheet, so if I omitted anybody's name, I sincerely apologize. And next month, we should have an updated list. And the Spring Hat Show and Sale, sponsored by the Sisterhood, is going on right now, starting right now downstairs. Thank you so much.